A few announcements before the homily. First, a charitable portion of our tithe this weekend will go in support of the Guatemala mission of our diocese. We're happy to support this foreign missionary effort, in particular because this past week, the Guatemalan people were the first nation in the world to completely ban Planned Parenthood from any action within its borders. So I think that's the first of many actions that have to happen. You recall that Planned Parenthood is one of the largest providers of abortions and an organization that truly hates women. So we pray for its complete destruction. The flowers in the sanctuary are in memory of Nellie Van Haven. May she rest in peace. Our weekly Bible study this past Wednesday, if you tuned in, you saw that halfway through the lesson, the entire YouTube just crashed, right? So that wasn't because they just decided to just stop, right? Take a little early break. But the YouTube crashed. We recorded the second part later. They've been put together, and they're available now as a single lesson on our Grace Lily page. Please note that this coming Wednesday is our last Bible study for this calendar year. We're going to talk about the sin of Ham. Ham was the middle son. It's always the middle child, isn't it? The middle son of Noah and what he did. We're going to talk about that. So we have class this Wednesday, and then we take a break for Thanksgiving and Advent. We start again on January 6th. So I hope you can tune in this Wednesday. Our next Saturday morning formation day will be this Saturday, November 21st. We'll be discussing the ways and the methods of evangelization. So what does that look like? The church and the Lord truly call us to evangelize, to share the faith with our friends, our families, those in our neighborhoods. So how do we pray spontaneously in public? How do we share our testimony? How do we share our faith? All that will be described this Saturday, 9 to 12. Hope you can join us live. If not, it will be available later on our Grace Lily page. You can tune in at your leisure. Please note that all parishioners have the opportunity to make or renew the consecration to Jesus through Mary on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December 8th. So if you'd like to make or renew that consecration, I encourage you to use the next several weeks to prepare yourself, spiritually for that consecration or that renewal. Opportunities will be given before each of the Immaculate Conception Masses. So I want to make just a public service announcement to the parish, just to clarify some things that are going on in our country. Right now with our national election process, because neither candidate has conceded, it's very important that we understand that right now we have no present elect. When one person chooses not to concede, and especially if there are challenges in the court, which is called the rule of law, those are allowed to play themselves out before anyone is declared a present elect. So because neither have conceded and there are challenges placed before the court, we wait for all that to play itself out. We do not rely on the national media to tell us who our present elect is. So I think it's very important, this language, because as Americans, we follow the rule of law. And it's very important that we adhere to that. That touches very much to my heart. As some of you know, I served in the armed forces, as did my father, my grandfather, my brother, my uncles, and two of my nephews. I very much believe and love the United States of America and know us to be a country that follows the rule of law. So I want to clarify that so in our own minds, we understand how this works. No one's conceded. There are challenges before the court. We wait. We're Americans. This is a democratic republic. We do not give any authority to the news media to make such declarations. So we will wait and see how this plays itself out. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this weekend we hear the story of the talents, the parable of the talents. It's a challenging parable. It is provocative. It should be a little startling. As we hear about this master who gives talents, 5, 2, and 1 talents. Yeah, we need to, please. Thank you. The master gives talents, 5, 2, and 1. And these talents are very important because they're given to each servant according to their ability. That means when the master's away, he knows what they can do. He knows what can be accomplished. He does not overwhelm any of his servants. That's important because the talents we receive, we know that we can exercise. And we know that we're called to use them so that when the master returns, we will be ready. Now, that's not just a parable. We know the Lord is speaking about the talents he's given to each of us. Are we using these talents well? Are we preparing for his return? Now, we have this parable today, Matthew chapter 25. Last week's parable of the wise and unwise virgins was also from Matthew 25. Matthew 25 is called the judgment chapter. It's about the end of our lives, the end of time, and judgment. Mother Church gives us these readings now because we're nearing the end of our liturgical year. We know that next week is the Feast of Christ the King, and then we get to First Advent. Every celebration of First Advent is like Catholic New Year. We celebrate a new liturgical year, and we change Gospels. That's when we leave Matthew's Gospel and enter into Mark's. So it's a big event, a big transition in the life of the Church. Because we change the liturgical year, Mother Church draws our attention to the end of our lives and to the end of time. This is very important. This is also why the month of November is when we recall our beloved dead. Because it's the end of the year, we remind ourselves of the end of time. So in light of all of this teaching that the Church has given to us, it's worth going back and addressing some questions pertaining to the end of life. Last week I gave certain principles. We spoke about ordinary and extraordinary care. We spoke about informed consent. We spoke about what it means to be a medical proxy or to ask someone else to be our medical proxy. What I want to do today is we talk about the end of life and being ready, following these proverbs, these parables, of being ready. I want to address just four issues that oftentimes come up in the end of life. Now realize that we will address these issues either in our own lives or in the lives of our loved ones. And I want the people of Our Lady of Grace to always be ready, to be not caught off guard, to be prepared. So we're going to talk about four things today. We're going to talk about nutrition, hydration, pain management, the DNR, and organ donation. The first one, nutrition, hydration. It sounds so complicated. All we're talking about is food and water. That if someone's hungry, you give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, you give them something to drink. We share a human vocation, and we have an obligation. So whether I'm picking up a spoon in order to help a child to eat, or whether we have to use a feeding tube in order to help someone who's of older age or who's terminally ill to eat, we give food to those who are hungry. We give drink to those who are thirsty. This is part of our responsibility. Now, oftentimes people will say, well, Father, that makes sense. But what about when it is artificially administered, when there's a feeding tube? Do we still have to give someone food and water? Yes. For we who are Christians, we understand that giving food and water is a basic human need. That means it does not pertain to medical care. It pertains to providing someone for the basics of what they need. If they're hungry, we give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, we give them something to drink. We give food and water so long as their body is able to assimilate it, able to receive it, to use it, so long as that food and water does good. So we continue, even if it's artificially administered, we give food and water and drink to those who need it. But someone could say, well, wait a minute, Father. If you do that, what about if the person's going to die anyway? What about if, you know, the doctors and the nurses are saying, don't give this to them, then what do? Well, we know that the doctors and nurses, they're going to tell you that any type of feeding tube is extraordinary care. They're using our word, right? Extraordinary care. The reason why they do that is because in the 1990s, through immense advocacy by insurance companies, the courts of the United States declared any use of a feeding tube as extraordinary means. It means your insurance company can charge more, right? But for our perspective as Catholics, extraordinary doesn't always apply in that situation. In fact, we know that we need all the details. For our approach, extraordinary care is far more holistic. We're allowed to stop food and water, even if it's artificially administered, when the body stops receiving it. So there are times our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. There are times when our bodies will start to shut down, and it will. There are times when our organs will start to shut down, and they will. Our bodies will let us know when it is time for the dying process to begin. When food and water are no longer doing a good, when the body can no longer receive them and assimilate them, then food and water can be suspended. So the first point, nutrition and hydration, we can say that when the person dies, we want to make sure that what has killed them is the illness or their suffering, and not the fact that we have starved them to death or dehydrated them to death. As long as the person's body can receive and assimilate, we have to give food and water to the person. That's our first point. The second point is in terms of not only nutrition and hydration, but also pain management. What can we do? What are we allowed to do morally in terms of pain management? Pain management, we're allowed to give the medication to the degree that's needed. As Catholics, as Christians, we don't want anyone to suffer. If someone is in pain, we can give them the medication that is needed to that level. Now, with that said, someone can say, well, wait a minute. If I give the pain medication that's needed, It might expedite their death. Is that allowed? Yes. In theology, we use the term foreseen but unexpected, unintended. It means we're not trying to take the person's life. We're simply trying to help the person no longer be in pain. So even if we know that the level of medication that's needed will expedite their death, that's morally acceptable. Now, with that clarification, I want to stress that the person can receive the pain medication to the level of pain. That means that we do not over-medicate people. We do not euthanize people. And it's the person, so long as they have their consciousness and cognition, who makes a decision. And there are times, especially among our own, when people can receive medication and say no. That must be respected. There are times in which people will say, no, I want to suffer. I want to offer up some redemptive suffering for my family, for my loved ones, and so on. Or they're waiting. They want more mental cognition in order to mark a milestone or to wait for a family member. If the person says no, that must be respected. Incidentally, it's only the person as well that can make that decision. A spouse can't say, no, 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 don't give him pain medication. He needs to suffer some more. The person's wishes have to be respected. We can give the level of pain medication that's needed. Again, we don't want people to be in pain. That's our second point. The third is the DNR. That's called a do not resuscitate order. It means if your heart fails, you're telling medical personnel, don't bring me back. People say, are we allowed to have DNRs? Yes. If you die, you're allowed to stay dead. You do not have to be resuscitated. That is a natural death. In fact, depending on your illness or the fragility of your body, you might not want a DNR because it will cause major harm to your body in order to resuscitate you. So DNRs are morally acceptable. So if you choose to have a DNR, again, that's a morally acceptable decision. Lastly, I want to talk about organ donation. The church has no directives in terms of organ donation. You are not obliged as a Christian to be an organ donor. However, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we are told that it's an act of charity, of love to our neighbor, that we will be an organ donor. So we have to ask ourselves, is this an act of charity that we are able to do? Now, full disclosure, I have always felt emotionally complicated, emotionally conflicted in terms of organ donation. I just don't like it. Right? I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I want to take everything with me, right? But I read the Catechism, and it says an act of charity to our neighbor, and I thought, oh, man, I wasn't expecting that argument, right? I thought, well, I want to make an act of charity, an act of love to my neighbor. I thought, what am I going to do? And I realized that goodness is more important than emotion. So I died to myself, and I signed up to be an organ donor. So it's a little hard on my driver's license, right, to be an organ donor. Again, there's no obligation, but it is strongly encouraged by the church that you're an organ donor. Before, when I was a hospital chaplain, I have to tell you that I saw lives that were given a second chance because of good organ donation. In fact, on one occasion, there was a death, the organ transfer, and the operation where the patient received the new organ. It all happened on the same day, and that day happened to be Good Friday that year. And days later, as I was visiting the patient, she was a believer, and she said, Father, on Good Friday, one person died, so another person might live. She was, of course, speaking not only of herself, but of the death of the Son of God for our salvation. The church encourages you to be an organ donor, but there's no obligation. So, dear friends, what we've reviewed today is organ donation, the DNR, pain management, and the importance of nutrition and hydration. I hope by clarifying these various points, you are more ready to prepare for these last stages in which we will all approach, either ourselves or our loved ones, and we must be ready. Last week's parable and this week's parable reminds us that this life is not the end, that we will leave this world and we must be prepared, both for ourselves and for our families. Do not leave these questions unresolved, and do not force your family to try to guess or suppose what you might have wanted to be done. Be prepared. Today we are told the Master will return. When he returns, we must be ready. So I pray that our review last week and this week has been helpful to you as you prepare in order for that final time to be ready. As we celebrate this Eucharist, I ask God to give us greater faith and confidence, preparation, that we can be like those wise virgins last week who had the oil that was needed, and today that we might be like that servant of 5 talents that uses them well and receives 10. We ask for the grace of faith and generosity to do whatever the Lord asks of us and to be ready.